Well, it's hard to believe that we're standing at the beginning of another new year. I'm sure you'll probably agree with me when I say that each year seems to pass quicker than the one before, and it seems to be flying past, and whether we like it or not, time marches on and the calendar changes, but we rest on this wonderful promise that the Word of God abides. It remains the same. Heaven and earth may pass away, the Saviour said, but His Word will abide forever. Now I have a question for you. Would you like to be blessed in 2023? Now, it's a rather silly question, because who wouldn't want to be blessed of God in this new year that comes? I think in some way each of us desire that blessed new year that we wish to one another by way of greeting. And what we mean when we say that, we are praying that the favour of God may rest upon you all year long. And that's a wonderful thought. We're praying for God's favour to rest upon you through this new year. No one gets up in the morning and says, I want to be miserable today, and I hope I have a rotten day. We want to be blessed, and we want to be happy, and we want to find fulfilment in what we do every day. Now, Psalm 1 tells us how we can be continually blessed day by day. And in just 6 short verses, we learn the secret of the life that God blesses. And it's got nothing to do with New Year resolutions. I know that in January, a lot of people make a list of things that they want to change about their life. But here in Psalm 1, it's going much deeper than making just surface changes to our lives. It's going much deeper than that. It's talking about the blessedness of this man of God. Happy is the man. You've got God's prescription for happiness. And as we look at the psalm this morning, we will discover that this blessedness relates to how we live, to the choices that we make, and upon the kind of people that we are going to be. And you'll notice that from the Lord's point of view, there are only 2 ways in which we can travel, 2 ways in which we can live, and there are only 2 kinds of people in this world, and only 2. You look at the end of verse 6 and you'll realize that the Lord speaks of only 2 ways and 2 people. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. So there are the righteous and there are the wicked. And everyone in this world falls into one of those 2 categories. There is no in-between category. And Psalm 1 shows us how the righteous live and why they are blessed. It also shows us the end of both of those lives, the way of the wicked and the way of the righteous. So if we want to be blessed of God in 2023, I encourage you to take a close look at this psalm and to consider for a few moments this morning the way of the righteous. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now there are a few truths from this passage I want to share with you this morning. First of all, that it is possible for a person to have a truly blessed and happy life. Verse 1 begins with a Hebrew phrase that means something like this: oh, the blessedness of the man. Or we might say, oh, how happy is the man who. A little earlier, or a little later last year, we looked at the prayer of Jabez because we wanted the blessed life that he prayed for. And in the biblical sense, to be blessed means to be in a right relationship with God, so that your life is fulfilled and you experience a deep personal satisfaction in the Savior. And it's important for us to know that the kind of happiness and blessedness that's been spoken of here has got absolutely nothing to do with our circumstances. And I know that there's some here that can testify to that. You look back in 2022 and it was filled with days of worry, days of concern, maybe sickness, illness, disappointment, hard days, difficult days. And yet, in spite of those earthly circumstances, there was a gracious sense of the Lord's presence that encouraged you and helped you and strengthened you. And in spite of all of the earthly difficulties, you could see that the Lord was near, and what a blessing that was. You see, this blessedness, this happiness that the scriptures are speaking about has got nothing to do with outward circumstances. Nor does this happiness come simply by seeking it. People seek happiness in all kinds of places. But this happiness is not found simply by seeking, but by doing certain things and by not doing others. The blessings come as a benefit of the choices that we make. I don't know if you were in Hobart last night for the fireworks. We were there at the early one. And as we were leaving, we were seeing all kinds of people coming out to begin their night of revelry, shall we say. And I suspect this morning that the most miserable people on New Year's Day are those who look for happiness by hopping from one party to another and from one bar to another, only to find that the fleeting happiness that they were seeking did not materialize and is gone today. See, true happiness, lasting contentment, cannot be found at the bottom of a bottle or inside a pub or a club. But there is a true happiness to be found. And it's possible to have that blessed life. But it only comes on God's terms. The world offers entertainment, and it offers amusement. That's an interesting word when you think about it. It's a compound word, amuse. You've got the prefix a, which means know, and then you've got muse, which means to think. That means no thinking. No thinking. Amusement. That's what the world offers, amusement. Don't think about it. Dead in the pen. Seek for happiness here and pleasure there, but true happiness, authentic joy, true peace are only found in the Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh which way? In the way of the righteous. And you'll notice that the blessedness begins with a negative and not a positive. And that surprises a number of people because they expect blessings to begin with things that the righteous man or the righteous woman will do. But it doesn't begin that way. There are certain things, rather, that he avoids. He walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. And you'll notice the progression that's taking place. First he's walking, then he's standing, then he's sitting. Firstly he's walking down the road. Then he stops and hangs out with the sinners, and eventually they prove to be such good company that he sits down and fellowships with them. What started first of all as a casual contact becomes eventually a declaration of allegiance along with them. It's a downward progression. Walking, standing, sitting. There's another progression. I don't know if you noticed. He starts with the ungodly, those who simply do not know God. Then his company is then with the sinners, those who are aware of God and yet sin against him. And finally, he finds himself amongst the scornful, those who know who God is and have deliberately turned away from him. We might say this difference between the agnostic and the atheist, and then the apostate. Those who don't know if there is a God, those who know that there is and don't want him, and those who know there is a God and who have deliberately turned from him. Well, this happy, blessed man is one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not take the advice of the morally unstable. He does not adopt their worldview. He does not follow the pursuits and the ways of those who do not know the Lord. He doesn't walk in their counsel, nor does he stand in the way of sinners. He does not make their choices his choices, their deliberations his deliberations. His is a life that's set apart, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't have close, intimate, long-term fellowship with those who deliberately reject the Lord. The progression goes something like this. First he thinks about it, then he acts it out, and then he becomes a leader of those who rebel against God, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Worldly thinking leads to worldly action, which leads to worldly fellowship. Let's be clear about this. Blessings come not only from the things that we do, but from the things that we don't do. The truly blessed person will avoid certain things. There will be people that they stay away from. There will be situations and circumstances that they just won't go near. There will be locations that they won't hang out in because they know it's a pathway, an open door to temptation and to sin, and they're doing all that they can to avoid it. Scriptures tell us very clearly we are to flee temptation. We are to run away from it. We're not to see how close we can get to it without getting burned or falling over the edge. Stay away from it. Stay away from the company of those who would lead us into the pathways of temptation. Is the word that's much needed at the beginning of a new year. If you decide to seek God in 2023 and to know his blessing upon your life, then rest assured that the devil will oppose you in every turn. And one of his strategies will be to surround you with people who will lead you astray. And the tricky part is that those people will not seem to be bad people, certainly not at the first. They're nice people, and they're good people, and they're maybe even decent people, but they're not godly people. And they don't share your faith in Christ. And they don't share your convictions. And they would have you to join them. Sin doesn't stand still, you know. It always moves to control us. And what starts as a casual contact leads us to an increasing closeness and then a permanent association. And eventually there is an increasing boldness in our sin and the lowering of our inhibitions. And we laugh at jokes that we once wouldn't have laughed at. They would have seemed crude to us. And we watch television programs that we would have switched off previously. And we compromise our values in ways that we never would have thought possible a year ago. And we consent to things that would have troubled us greatly in the past. You do well to remember the old proverb that says that if you lie down with dogs, you will rise up with fleas. And I know you're probably thinking to yourself, I can hear the objections already. How are we going to reach the lost if we don't spend time with them? That is a good question. But here's the answer. You do not win the lost by being like the lost, or by living the same way that they live. You win the lost by loving them in Christ and living like the redeemed. If you adopt the lifestyle of those who do not know the Lord, why would they want what you have? You're simply telling them what I have is not sufficient. If your life is just the same as theirs, why would they want what you have? There was an old expression that was used, certainly we used it when I was a boy and probably long before that, that Christians are in the world but not of the world. That means that we live amongst those who are lost and without Christ, and we can love them and befriend them and care for them, and at the same time we're careful to live a life that's led by a different value system. We don't live in the ways of the world. Our life is directed and dictated by the Lord and by His Word. That powerful combination of truth backed up by love will be an irresistible force in our witnessing. We cannot and we do not reach people for Christ by lowering our standards or compromising our values. Someone said it's a good thing when the boat is in the water, but it's a bad thing when the water is in the boat. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We don't want to take on the ways of the world or the attitudes of the world or the belief system of the world. We are new creatures in Christ, and the old things are passing away and all things are becoming new, and we're being transformed moment by moment into the image and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that should show. That should tell. There are certain things for a truly blessed life that we will avoid. Now notice also that the blessedness that we desire comes from building our life upon the Word of God. We're now coming to the positive side of the ledger, if you like. Having refused to walk in the way of evildoers, we now instead focus upon doing God's will. And the psalmist tells us that the godly person, he delights in the law of the Lord. He loves the Word of God, the Scriptures, the Bible, the truth that is in his hand is his delight. He takes great pleasure in it. It carries the idea of it being his consuming passion. He delights in the law of the Lord. Everyone delights in something. Some people delight in food. Other people delight in a hobby or a career or a job. You might delight yourself in a particular friendship. Some people delight in money or things that money can buy. Some delight in evil pleasures and wrong desires. But mark this well, your delight determines your direction. The things that you delight in, the things that get your motor running, the things that get you excited in the morning and keeps you awake at night, the things you daydream about, your delight will prove to be the direction of your life. Tell me the answers to those questions. What is it that gets you out of bed in the morning? What is it that gets you going? What is it you think about when you have a moment to yourself? Tell me what the answer to those questions are, and I'll tell you what your delights are. To delight is to be excited about something that you just can't wait to get to it, to have it in your hands, to use it, whatever it might be. Now, apply that principle to the Word of God. Do we delight in the law of the Lord? Do we delight in the law of the Lord in a way that a lover delights in his beloved? Those who are blessed by God love his law and meditate in it day and night. And the word meditate there carries the idea of digesting something thoroughly. To reflect upon the truth, to consider a verse or a passage from the Word of God, to look at it from every angle, to consider it from every place, and to eat it, digest it, consume it, absorb it, then live it out. It's interesting that the word meditate here in the original Hebrew can also mean to mumble under your breath. I don't know if you ever talk to yourself or not. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I have to speak quite harshly with myself and speak quite firm words in order to bring myself back into line. And other times I tell myself things that I know to be true to encourage myself. Well, I'm glad to know that this habit of mind is loosely covered by this category of meditation. To ponder and to think and to remember and go over again the promises of God. This promise is not just upon any mumbling, but the patient consideration of God's truth. You'll notice that we're told that he meditates in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. On the one hand, that expression day and night means all the time. When should we meditate upon God's word? Well, any time is a good time. All the time is a good time. There is no wrong time to meditate on the word of God. But then I was thinking, maybe we should take the text quite literally. It would be a good practice to begin and to end the day with God and with his word. That means that we start right and we finish right, and we trust that then through the day everything will go right. And so when you're leaving today, you'll find on the table at the back of the church some reading calendars for 2023, some helps to get you through the Bible in the next 12 months. We need to discipline our minds to be thinking biblically all the time. A daily discipline. Meditating on the law of God day and night. And if we're serious about it, we will find the time. We will have a regular reading program. You may not manage to get through the entire Bible in a year. I encourage you to do that if you can. But I want you to use those study guides that are available to read God's Word. Not just to read it, but to memorize it. That's something almost of a lost art today. I think the only ones that memorize Scripture these days are the little children in Sunday school. But Christians always used to memorize God's Word. Because it meant that no matter where they were, what was happening around them, whether they had a Bible in their hand or not, they had God's Word in their heart. And I know all the excuses. I haven't time. I'm too busy. At the end of the day, my brain's fried and I can barely remember my phone number, never mind these verses of Scripture. We have 1,000 excuses. The truth is, we simply lack the motivation. If someone were to come in and say to you today, I'll offer you $100 for every verse that you've memorized between now and next week, that would motivate a few people. And I reckon you'd probably have a go at memorizing Psalm 119 if you could, just to be there with the longest chapter. $100 a verse, I'm good for that. But here's the thing, God's word is more precious to us than silver or gold. And if we truly delight in his word, we will find a way to read it, to meditate upon it, and even to memorize it. And so this man that's truly blessed, there are things that he doesn't do, there's company that he doesn't keep, there are places that he doesn't go, there are things that he does do, he meditates and delights in the law of the Lord, and that blessedness will be seen in his life by stability and by fruitfulness. This man, we're told, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Thus is the kind of life that's promised to us. The man, the woman who builds their life upon the word of God will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I like the idea of the fact that this tree is planted purposefully. A location for it has been sought, and the tree has been planted in a place that will enable it to grow and develop and be fruitful. It's planted by the streams of water. And so we're thinking of a tree not only with branches that stretch high and wide, but we've got roots that go deep into the earth, down into the soil. They tell me that whatever size a tree you see above the ground, there's as much below the ground in the root system. The root system's there to provide stability, so that when the winds blow against it, there's strength to maintain its stand. The roots go down and draw up the nutrients so that when the time of winter comes and the summer drought, not only is the tree held in place, but it has access to moisture and nutrients. We know that a tree has good roots when the storms come. All trees look pretty much alike when the sun is shining or a gentle rain is falling, but let a mighty storm blow past. Let the howling winds come. And then you see the tree that has the root system in place. You don't want to be blown over in the first storm of life. We want to be rooted and grounded in Christ. We want our roots to go down deep into that spiritual foundation. And the only way to be ready when the storm comes is by delighting in the Word of God, meditating on His truth, building a foundation deep and strong for the time of test. And you'll notice that not only is he a tree planted by the rivers of water, but he brings forth fruit in its season. Fruit is an expression of the inner character of the tree. How do you spot a lemon tree? Well, by the lemons that it produces. How do you recognize an apple tree? Well, by the apples that it produces. Whatever's on the inside will eventually be seen on the outside. How do you recognize a true Christian who's living in the strength and the power of God's Holy Spirit being delivered to him by daily seasons in the Word of God? Well, the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in his life. When we apply this fruit spiritually, when we get our roots deep into the Word of God, God will provide us what we need and when we need it. His Word will speak to us. If we need love, God's Word will strengthen the fruit of love. If we need a forgiving spirit, from the Word of God will come strength to forgive. When we need courage or patience or perseverance, this life is available to every believer, but it will only be fully realized as we walk with the Lord, as we delight in His Word. And it's a life that we're told that prospers in all situations. Not only does his leaf not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's like an evergreen tree. He's green all year round. He's constantly refreshed by the Word of God. He's constantly renewed. He's drawing strength each day from the provisions of God for every fresh situation. He's evergreen. And everything he does prospers. Now, don't jump to the mistaken conclusion that many do, that speaking about financial prosperity or material prosperity. That's not excluded, but it's not what it's talking about. The prosperity that's spoken of here is that they find the strength for the day and hope in the hardest situations. They bring forth godly fruit in good times and in hard times. Why? Because they're planted deep in the good soil. Their roots reach down to the water of God's Word. They're finding continual nourishment there. And no matter what life throws at them, their leaf is ever green and they're continually fruitful. Paul expresses a similar idea in Romans chapter 8, where he speaks how that in the midst of struggles and sorrows and persecutions, famine and distress and nakedness and sword, those that know the Lord are more than conquerors. We triumph in Christ. So whether we face disappointment, rejection, failure, sickness, no matter what, we thrive, we survive, and we are not destroyed. Here's the promise given to us for 2023. Walk with the Lord. Delight in His Word. Be prosperous, spiritually speaking. And rest assured that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. We are known to Him. We are loved by Him. Like a father watching over his children, he thinks of them continually. He's there to help and to aid them. And He is filled with loving kindness towards us. And so we are preserved through our trials, and we will eventually be brought home to glory. Oh, that we might live the blessed life of the one who's dependent upon God and walking in His ways, and may we be fruitful for our Saviour. May the Lord be pleased to bless these few thoughts to our hearts this morning.